Commission meeting for Tuesday, October 8th, 2024. We have five of our six planning commission members here this evening. Ms. Bevins reached out to let me know that she is at a funeral for a family member. We would like to welcome staff as well, who's joined us this evening and will be presenting evidence on the different items that we'll be hearing. We would also like to extend a welcome to those that have joined us as applicants and members of our community, as well as Mr. Lewis, who is our city manager. With that, we will get down to business. Our first item is to approve our agenda as printed.
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Our next item is to approve our minutes from the September 24th, 2024 Planning Commission meeting. I believe that Mr. Catmull had a modification he would like to make.
Yes. So I'd like to... I've sent this as an email form. I'd love to be able to make a modification in that area where Attorney Lewis was talking about, and I've highlighted in the email the specific section. There were several back and forth, so I don't know exactly how to put it. But because of that modification, I believe like the commission needs to agree whether that amendment fits the meeting. Is that the idea? So let me, if it makes sense, I'll just read kind of what I was intending or how I might write that. Commissioner Catmull stated that the flag lot overlay zone enforces all city code requirements except for the lot size unless modified or waived in the development agreement. He found no provisions in the agreement to prevent the spread of flag lots along a street, in this case 3010 West, and that's how I'd probably leave it. Comments?
I don't have any issues with that proposed change. Does this require a motion or?
I'll make a motion that will reflect his statement then.
Okay.
Any other, I guess, before I make the motion, modifications? I didn't see any others.
But. I did not either.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
I wasn't here previously, and so I'm really not aware of exactly what was said, but are you changing what you actually said or? Okay.
It's not changing, but it's definitely, there was a back and forth and much longer about talking about 16 number 17 and this. It does condense it and describe the conversation, I feel like.
This may seem like nitpicking, but I just want to make sure that the minutes accurately reflect what was actually said. And if you're wanting to just modify what your intentions were, and that's different than what you actually said, then you could do that in this meeting. But I'm just explaining that difference.
We can definitely go into more detail. I mean, if we want to get into the specific, I didn't go into the transcription because I don't have the transcription. I can create it. I listened to that section. I'm going off of the conversations that I remember and then trying to condense it into a easy to understand area and put it in that flow of where it was roughly in the meeting.
I understand you to be saying that you're not changing what you said in the previous meeting. And if that's what you're saying, then I don't want to go into make it all complicated. Am I understanding you correctly?
Right. I believe, and this is why I'm asking the commission also, it felt like that's what ultimately was being communicated, because I went into a whole lot more with my city council representative about details that I didn't bring up here, and I'm not trying to inject any new things that I didn't bring up into the meeting. But my concern in the last meeting was we were trying to separate 17 and 16, you know, the zone, but the zone says all the city code has to be is in effect unless modified or waived. And what I was highlighting is in the, I didn't say exactly in the development agreement, I don't see that, but I'm saying like, that's probably the only thing that might be unique to it. But I was saying like, I don't see how we can, we're not seeing anywhere where we waive the requirements around subdivision things. So does that make sense?
It's hard for me to judge that at all because I wasn't here and I don't know exactly how the transcript reads. I just know that the purpose of a motion on the minutes is to correct any errors in the minutes. And if you are, if that's what you are doing, then please proceed. I'm just making that clarification.
Yes, thank you. So it was, there was multiple back and forths, and that I believe that that portion did not reflect that part of the conversation in the minutes. Like it was condensed quite a bit. And that's all I'm saying is that it needs to be, that was kind of what triggered the conversation. There was kind of a back and forth while Ryan was speaking, I believe. But if it's not, like, you know, I mean, if no one wants to do it, that's fine. I'm just trying to reflect what I believe the minutes were, and I'm not trying to, I hate, like, people can listen to the audio as well, but I'm not trying to do anything personally advantageous.
So before making a motion on the minutes that have been presented to us in draft form, is there anything in there that's incorrect or erroneous?
I don't think there's anything that's erroneous. I think there's things that are missing that are important to the context of the discussion. That's the way I would describe it.
And City Council would have full access to the transcript and or recording. Mm-hmm. And of course you're, that you just mentioned your one-off conversation that you had as well with your representative.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. But I guess my only hesitancy voting for a modification to the minutes is, I think with Mr. Simonson here, is if someone's to listen to the recording and then the minutes don't maybe match that, and inserting something else additional, like based off your statement you just read, could that put the city in any legal peril because it wasn't actually on the record of that meeting?
Oh, I believe it was in the meeting. Like, I can't say that it was exactly at that point, and because that's the part, is like there were back and forths, and there's only like two or three. It was how it was summarized.
Is there any harm to the city by tabling the approval of the minutes to our next meeting so we can have just that clarified? I mean, I know it probably can't go to the City Council or a recommendation until the minutes are formally approved for them to take action on that one item, correct?
I mean, I would pull it. It's not worth it. It is a legislative item, so it's based on opinion and so forth. I was just trying to reflect something I thought that was missing in the minutes versus something that was erroneous. I feel like there's been other times that we've looked at minutes and made simple adjustments with maybe you're not as much scrutiny, but I'm fine with it. It's like, I'm just trying to, you know, read my minutes and take them seriously. Thank the people who put them together.
Could I make a suggestion? And if this is satisfactory with you, Commissioner, that rather than pull it or table it or anything like that, you make a statement on the record today about what your intention was and the part that you think was maybe not fully set forth in the minutes. It'll be then set with these minutes, but these minutes, at least that portion, can be attached or so that anybody can go to one place and find that.
I'm fine with whatever, however you want to do it. For me, again, it's just a summary of what I believe the back and forth was about. And I think that the language I gave summarizes what I believe I heard when I listened. It's about 34 minutes in to the meeting. And
all that. I don't think anybody's questioning your good intentions here at all.
So guide me. Like I'm fine if we don't amend or fix the minutes. I'm happy just making a statement and recording that in this minutes. I'm happy just moving on to the next item.
Can we attach what he's presented this evening to the minutes so that the minutes are unchanged, but then with the addendum that he's
Yeah, it would be, it would then become, as I understand it, and talking about this with my boss today, is that they would be an official part of the record of these minutes, but then a copy would be also attached to the other minutes so that if somebody wanted to access all of it in one place, it would be there.
I'm good. That's fine.
Okay. Motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the minutes of the September 24, 2024 Planning Commission meeting as published, with the note that we allow Commissioner Catmull subsequently in this meeting to attach any additional comments he wishes to make.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion on that? All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, staff, business for us this evening.
I'm sorry, but I don't think we're quite done.
Okay.
I think he needs to make his statement.
Oh.
Okay. I can make that statement again. So I will, so the statement, what I'd like to do is to clarify and add content from the meeting, which I believe we're not incorrect, but we're missing from the minutes that expand upon them and the conversations that were had around 34 minutes into the meeting, where, sorry, I'm just getting to my more concise version of this, that the flag lot overlay zone, which was the item being discussed, the text of that says that all city code requirements must be met except for the lot size unless modified or waived in the development agreement. And I was talking about how I found no provisions in the agreement, or I did not understand how 16 could be separated, Title 16 could be separated from Title 17 requirements because Title 17 said all code is in play unless modified. And that's what I would like to add in.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your guidance on that and for being so diligent. You're always our detail man.
Sometimes.
So, okay. Staff, business for us this evening.
No extra business from staff tonight, just the following items that are on the agenda.
Okay. Planning Commission, I think Mr. Catmull had something for us.
As in part of preparation for this meeting, I was listening to the work session. When we got together and had our training together with the city council, they brought up short-term rentals. And so I was curious when I saw that on the work session, and so I listened to that. If you get a chance, I would encourage you to listen to that or talk to your city council members. It sounds like we're going to get an ordinance in weeks on that, and it would just be great. Maybe this is a request for city staff, or at least maybe we need to make it formally or talk about it as a planning commission. Like, I'd love to get a draft legislation before the weekend, you know, especially if it's going to be meaty, so that we could spend a little bit more time studying it whenever that starts to come forth.
I would like to second that request.
I will tell you that the way it is looking now, that it will not be in the zoning code. It will be through business licensing, so you will not have any chance to review it. I mean, you can review it, but you won't have any. It'll go straight to city council for their approval.
All right. We are private citizens, though, as well. So,
but I'll be happy to forward it as soon as when one is drafted. I'll be happy to forward to you, so you at least understand what's going on with it. Then,
right?
Does that also mean we get to forward complaints?
Well, I mean, there'll probably be some changes, right? Like short-term, depending on whether like short-term rentals are allowed in ADUs, and there'll be some changes to 16 and 17. I would think
there. And there may be, as we have to wait till it's drafted, but I don't recall them. And when they had the discussion study session at the last meeting, that didn't seem to come up, but they may have come up at another time as well. So
if you just keep your eye out, like,
sure,
it'd just be helpful.
Any other business? Okay.
I mentioned at the last meeting that I was going to be absent at the second meeting in October. That was incorrect. I will be in attendance. I know it is fall break for the school district, I believe, that week. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Then with that, we will move into our administrative public hearings. For those that are present, just some business or just items of information for each of these items. We will be the deciding factor on this. We are checking each item to make sure that it meets our city ordinances and code. Staff will present to us the information that they've put together on each item. If the applicant is present, they will have an opportunity to add anything to that staff report. After that time, we'll open up the floor to anybody who's joined us this evening that would like to address the commission on that item. You will have 3 minutes to present your evidence and testimony to the commission. We ask that when you do so, you'll approach the podium so that it can be recorded for our records. And we ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records. If we have anybody that's joined us online, after those that are present in our auditorium have been allowed the opportunity to address the commission, we'll provide you an opportunity if you'll turn on your camera and your audio and give me a wave indicating that you would like that opportunity. All right, with that, Greg, you have our first item, the Daybreak South Station, Plat 3 Condominiums, Phase 2B Preliminary Subdivision.
Thank you. Yes, the this application is Daybreak South Station, Plat 3 Condominiums, Phase 2. If I can. Is it up?
Other side.
There oh, that go. One. There we go. Yeah, this application is the second phase of these condominiums, as you can see on this map. This condominium will have four phases, and this is the second. The second phase has it's one building with 10 units within it. It's pretty much identical to the first phase. The first phase also had 10 units. The ultimate, after all four phases are completed, there will be a total of 60 units in this condominium project. There will be, with this phase, so there are, I believe, 12, 10 tuck-under parking spaces. Overall, at the end of the 60 units, there will be 66 on-site parking spaces, which that's six more than what's required by the zoning code. For this, because they are allowed to have, because they're within a quarter mile of a track station, they're allowed to have just one parking space per unit. So they'll have 66, which will be six more. Any other other parking will have to be parked on the street, obviously, and which is fairly common in Daybreak. The proposed units sizes range in this building from 1,063 square feet to 1,301 square feet, and I, like I said, I can move on to show you that's the footprint of the building, and these are the floor plans of the interior units, and the exterior will match the existing one that's already been constructed in phase one. If you have any other questions, I can answer them now or later.
So just to restate what you said, there will be 66 total parking spots for 60 units on site,
Right. Yes.
Which exceeds what we're required or what are required based on state law. Is that?
No, it's what's required in the PC zone.
Okay.
So,
was that part of our infrastructure monies? Was that one of the menu items that we picked several years ago with House Bill?
No, I don't.
That's
believe
a piece,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, the parking requirements wouldn't be part of that, but the PC zone would normally require this to have 1.5 spaces, but they can reduce it by a half space if they're within a quarter mile, according, and that's of the approved design guidelines.
Okay. And then when I do the math, I get that this is for this particular parcel that we're looking at, 53 units. But that, once you take into consideration the entire project, it comes in at 40, is that correct?
Now, the entire project will be 60 units total. This building itself only has 10 units.
Right, I'm looking at density, sorry. So if I take the 10 units, divide...
Per acre. Oh, yeah, the density per acre can go up to, in this, 50 units per acre is the maximum for this project.
Okay. So this piece is coming in above that, when taken as a whole,
right?
It means, okay. All right, commissioners, other questions?
What's the distance from the new downtown Daybreak area? I know you said it's within a quarter mile of a tracks line.
It's just off the map to the left is where Granville Avenue is center of downtown Daybreak. And if you just go to off the map, there would be the stadium that's being constructed. The new track station on this one is just north of this on Granville Avenue. It's up in this corner here. I don't know if that...
Yeah, so the reason I ask is any concerns. I know that the allowed parking on the street is before there was going to be a baseball stadium and/or track station here, probably. And so I'm wondering how that can be factored in, because if we're now putting in these housing units along with a sporting event at least 72 days a year, if not more, other events, plus all the other entertainment activities in that area, plus a light rail station, which will need parking. I just not sure that the parking, the off-site parking on public streets is going to be adequate. I don't know if that can be addressed by us as a commission, but I'm just going to raise that on the public record that this and future proposals in this area needs to be looked at in lieu of the construction that's going on there and the events that will be taking up the on-street parking.
Well, the other events shouldn't be taking up on-street parking because they're already planning, I can't remember how many, but it's close to 1,000 parking spaces that will be there, so. For the stadium and for the Megaplex and for the other things, so.
All right, any other questions, commissioners? Well, we have Mr. Schindler up here. Okay, thank you. Did Daybreak Community send a representative this evening?
I think they might be online because they told me this afternoon that if they join. Yes, there he is.
Mr. Warnock, would you like to add anything to the staff report? All right, if you would just...
Hi. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't be there in person tonight. My second oldest son turned 18 today and had to attend a family event for him and realize I'm getting old. So, as Greg was saying, this is actually in between the two light rail stops. This is actually in between the new central track station and then also the existing track station that's out there right now. So it's actually almost dead identical right in the middle between the two of them. This isn't going to take away from any of the parking. This is all contained within the condominium development. And it wouldn't interfere with any of the stuff we're doing with downtown Daybreak.
Do you have similar product in Daybreak where you can comment on parking and if this model has worked?
This is the expansion of the homes condominiums. It's just this complex that's phase one is already built. This is just phase two. It's part of that existing condominium.
And have you had any complaints from residents about parking?
I have not, no.
Do you make it clear to potential buyers, renters, that they only have one parking spot on site?
I know they have it in their declarations when they are selling the units to the residents. It's pretty obvious in our Daybreak decks as well. But I have an aunt who lives right across the street from here and has not had any complaints about parking. So
how many bedrooms do these units typically have?
These are this building, I believe, is 2-bedroom.
Okay. Commissioners, other questions for Mr. Warnick? Mr. Warnick, I'm not sure that you stated who you are and who you represent. Would you do that for our record?
Sorry. I'm used to it by now. John Warnick, I'm with Larry H. Miller Real Estate. I'm the Vice President of Land Development.
Thank you.
Do you know how many parking spaces and units are in phase one of the development?
Not off the top of my head. I'd have to look at it.
I can tell you that. It's got 66 as well. It's located directly east of this project.
All right, commissioners, any other questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Warnick. At this time, I'm going to open up the floor to the public. If you've joined us this evening and would like to address the commission on this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time. Did anybody in the auditorium want to discuss this item? Okay, was there anybody else on Zoom? I should have
looked.
All right. If we could get that screen back just to see if anybody else wanted to speak to this item. All right, if you would like to address the commission on this item, we just ask that you turn on your camera, use the raise hand feature. Okay. I'm not seeing anybody online either, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, I share Commissioner Gedge's concern about parking. It is what it is, though. It meets the requirements for this zone. I am glad to hear that there will be additional parking included for the commercial and recreational things that will be in the area. I don't see any reason that this shouldn't be passed this evening. Is there anything else from the commission? Okay, then I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we, based on staff report and our discussion this evening, we approve project number PLPP2024-00155. Subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion. I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wimmer?
Yes.
Okay, this item will pass 5-0. And we will move on to our next item, which is the Daybreak Urban Center Plat 2 Preliminary Subdivision. And Greg has the staff report again.
This time I'll try not to write on the screen because I don't know how to take it off, but Matt does evidently. So let's see if I can. Okay, this subdivision is basically just a right-of-way dedication plat. It's proposed to dedicate some right-of-way. There are extensions of Home Plate Drive to the west toward Mountain View, and also Centerfield Drive to the west toward Mountain View. The gaps in between my yellow markings there are will. Likely, they will not be dedicated. They'll be given easements because that's Rocky Mountain Power, and they own that property. But I think they're in the process of getting easements over the property for the road. But otherwise, they will be dedicated to the city. The ones that are shown as right of way dedication. And there are no lots or anything like that it's incorporated with this subdivision. So there's not much else I can tell you about it other than it's a dedication plat for your review there.
Questions? Go ahead.
I know dedicating the roads, and so these roads, obviously, they either end at Mountain View Highway or they will join the Mountain View Highway.
There will be access to the front, which will become the frontage roads, which is Mountain View at this point. Yes.
And I'm assuming, and maybe Jeremy or other traffic, would it be right turn only, or just, I'm just trying to think of traffic flow in the area, even when it becomes a frontage road, on those far west of these dedicated properties.
Yeah. So it'll tie into that northbound.
northbound segment of Mountain View Corridor, so it'll be a right-in, right-out access. Okay. And I believe we have the permits to make both those connections from UDOT. We've been working on that for quite a while.
And I'm assuming UDOT or the city has looked at any conflicts with Lake Avenue to the south of that access to Mountain View Corridor, that it won't slow down traffic?
To the nth degree. Okay. With UDOT, yes.
On the record.
There's a model.
And this is, isn't Mountain View Freeway going to go underneath that anyway?
Mountain View, the mainline Mountain View? Uh-huh. Mountain View, there will be slip ramps coming off the mainline in that vicinity.
Okay.
And so that's been some of the complications with these accesses, just making sure that there's not strange weave patterns, you know, happening with traffic. The main line will be pretty close to the same grade as the frontage roads at that location because of the slip ramps.
Okay, so it'll be like, I mean, there's what is Mountain View today is the frontage road in the future, right?
Yeah, so right. Yeah, the main line will just we'll be between the frontage roads
because we're going to have a main line.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was curious if there's going to be some like right turn lanes, perhaps even widening the frontage road at that point, you know, to let the traffic like
acceleration deceleration lanes.
Right.
Maybe we can ask Mr. Warnick. I don't recall if UDOT required that or not, and that I don't remember exactly if there is going to be an acceleration deceleration lane for those right turns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have the two sections that are missing in this already been turned over to the city?
They will not be turned over to the city. They're just going to get there'll be easements recorded there so that they can travel across the Rocky Mountain. Okay. Is that correct? So they, you know, we're not going to be getting the easements are there to just to so the roads can continue. They're not going to be dedicated to the city.
Right. That's the way it's looking right now with Rocky Mountain Power. We're in the works of trying to get that worked out with Rocky Mountain Power. And then on the other piece with the UDOT piece, we do have a right of entry with UDOT to be able to cross that segment.
Mm-hmm.
To the north. And that right-of-way dedication, we're also working out with UDOT.
Okay. Anything else for staff? Okay. Would Mr. Warnock have anything to add to this as well? Does this fall under his purview?
It would.
Okay. Mr. Warnock, is there anything you'd like to add?
This definitely falls under my purview a lot more so than condo plats. But those are right-in, right-outs. They do have a small they have a small ASL DCL lane that's going in. If you notice the work that's happening on Mountain View Corridor right now, in the median in between the two frontage roads right now, or in the middle, are the U-turns that are getting put in, and then these right connections are being put in right now. So Jeremy was correct. We do have the permits with UDOT. They're actually probably going to be paved. These will probably be paved in the next couple of weeks before the winter flies. And it's all part of our kind of traffic and the engineering plan that goes behind getting access in and out of downtown Daybreak. So it's exciting stuff.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Warnock while we have him? Okay. We were going to then open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. Anybody want to address the commission on this item tonight? Okay, can we go back to the Zoom again? Again, same invitation if you'd like to address the commission. We just ask that you've turned your camera on, so Mr. Gardner, if you could turn on your sound as well and tell us your name and where you reside, you'd have 3 minutes to address the commission.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Benyon Gardner. I live at 4922 West Fishhook Road in South Jordan. I just wanted to add a comment here, not asking for anything in particular, but just share a little bit. I was hit by a vehicle last year on Mountain View and South Jordan Parkway while I was out for a jog. Because of that, and after seeing, I've started a petition to asking for a pedestrian and cyclist bridge across Mountain View Corridor, right in this area. And mainly that's because I'm looking at these plans and seeing this, and hearing some of the concerns at this meeting tonight, that there is a lot of concern over traffic and what to do with all the vehicles that are going to be coming and going from this area. And what I'm looking for and what I'm asking for is for some balance in the planning. I haven't seen, and maybe there's planning out there, and the city has agreed to meet with kind of our group that's pushing this petition, which I'm excited for, and hoping to learn more information. But if you want to, if you want traffic and vehicles, then you'll make it easy for cars to get to this area, and adding more roads, adding lots of parking lots in the area, that's going to bring lots of cars to the area. If you want to reduce traffic and reduce parking issues, then we need to make it easy to get to these games and get to this area on foot or on bike. Not everybody owns a car either, and wants to get around by vehicle. So, so I'm hoping as the planning goes forward and plans are made, that we can have more of a balanced approach than what I've been seeing so far, and make it safe for people to get around in Daybreak. Daybreak's known as a walkable community, but it seems like that's kind of gone to the wayside here in this area. I know the plan eventually is to build overpasses for Mountain View, but that wouldn't have helped me in my situation. The car that hit me was turning right onto Mountain View. 2 weeks ago, a mom and their 4-year-old was hit by a vehicle exiting Mountain View. And now here we're adding two more on and off ramps, basically, to Mountain View. It's not a freeway yet. It's a frontage road still. And those access points create hazards for people on bikes or on foot. And so that's my ask, is that we work to make it safe for everybody who wants to get to the games, and make it easy for those who don't want to drive a car, so that traffic and parking is reduced. So thank you,
Mr. Gardner. All right, was there anyone else that wanted to speak to this item? All right, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Jeremy, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you. I know that you're over, like, the vision for 9800 South Shields Lane. Can you comment on any plans for walkability, pedestrian access, cycling access in this particular area?
I can share what I know. So there's a number of things that are being done for pedestrian, for just multimodal opportunities to the ballpark. There's a new track station being built right on the east side of the ballpark. That'll make it very easy to access it through transit. Lake Avenue has a center running cycle track, and they'll be able to access it using that center running cycle track. Also, South Jordan Parkway will have the center running cycle track. And what we found is that a lot of these pedestrian accidents that have occurred are due to right turning vehicles, because when you're making a right turn, you're looking left and the pedestrian is on your right side. And actually 90% of the pedestrian accidents on Mountain View in South Jordan are exactly that conflict. And so the crossings on South Jordan Parkway and Lake Avenue are center running. They cross in the middle of the intersection, which eliminates that right turn conflict. And then there are going to be some grade separated crossings at the drainage basins at Bingham Creek on on the north end of the city, and then Midas Creek on the south end of the city. And so that's all I know.
Could you remind me the south of both Lake Avenue and South Jordan Parkway?
The south coordinate of them? Or sorry, what do you mean?
Yes, approximately.
It runs diagonal through Daybreak. It makes it confusing. Right. Through our segment of town, it's 104th South. Once you get out there, probably 106th South is South Jordan Parkway. Okay. And then Daybreak Parkway, or excuse me, Lake Avenue. I'm not sure. I'm not sure on the coordinate there.
Is city aware of this petition? Mr. Bishop is aware of this petition.
The city's aware of it just through the media. We have not received any formal petition. The city manager has reached out to Mr. Binion, and we do have a meeting, I believe, this week, maybe even tomorrow. Yeah. Thought it was this week. I haven't received anything official yet, but we're trying to understand.
And this would be something that I'm guessing from my previous experience that UDOT would probably delegate to the city if they wanted to have a tunnel or any bridges or anything.
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, it's a UDOT facility. At this point, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, but anyway, beyond that, it's probably beyond this item anyway, because really we're just looking at the subdivision and whether someone, you know, whether this meets the current code and can be framed in the way it's being framed, and how that ownership and how that all happens is outside probably the purview of our item.
Further comments?
Just one, I guess, question. So we're subdividing is the motion or the application in front of us this evening. If it is approved, what's the next steps, I guess, for the dedication to the city? Does that just go directly to the city council, that part, or is that done by city staff? Can you just explain the next steps in the process after this?
It will be to get dedicated through the recorded plat. So just like all streets are when subdivisions, they're dedicated through recording the plat. This will be the same thing.
And just one, because part of these roads will be easements and not actually own property, what happens in, I guess, in a situation of maintenance or liability because you have a road that's not on a property that's owned by the city?
I'll let Jeremy answer that question.
We have that situation in a number of segments that the easement allows us to operate and maintain the roadway. Otherwise it wouldn't work. But the easement will give us that ability.
I'm just curious why we would choose one versus the other. Why did they decide an easement's better for parks? And I'm just curious.
I think the it's not our decision. It's Rocky Mountain Power's decision.
Yeah.
They don't want us to actually own property that's on their, it's their property. They actually, they'll be granting us the easement to use that section and also to maintain it. They're not going to maintain it. They're going to require us to maintain that. So, yeah. But I imagine, I don't know, Jeremy, you can, if they were willing to, dedicate that property to the city, then we would probably take it, but they're not willing to do that. I don't think.
And because they're a regulatory agency, the city can't use eminent domain to seize that to be part of the.
We could use eminent domain if we chose to. And Greg, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think our first approach is always to try and make it work. Make it work for both organizations. And it kind of goes. I mean, it feels like whoever owns the property first retains the property, and you grant an easement for whoever crosses it. That's similar to how we handle like parks. If there's a power line or something that comes through a park, we would grant them an easement. We wouldn't allow them to buy the property. So,
okay, thank you.
Any further discussion or comments on this item? All right, I think I'm ready for motion then. zero at the end.
Zero. Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to motion that we approve project number PLP P2024-0005, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
So there was a zero dropped between the project number and the staff recommended motion. Am I reading that wrong?
Just,
I think there should be a zero after the five.
Yeah, it should be a zero. Five. Not, that wasn't in the motion, it's in the application number or project number.
Oh, I'm reading off of the staff recommendation motion. So we get, right. Can we get
so the staff recommendation motion is missing a zero.
Okay. Yeah, can we get clarification?
It should have the zero.
It should have a zero. Yeah. So I'd like to amend my motion or correct my motion to reflect the project number that with the extra zero at the end that is listed on our staff.
Thank you. Any other discussion on that motion? Okay, I'll second that, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Guest?
Aye.
And Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 5-0. All right, our last item under our administrative public hearings is the South Jordan Commercial Preliminary Subdivision. Mr. Schindler has our staff report. He's getting his steps in tonight.
I do prefer this.
Yeah. I can use all the steps I can get. I might start walking around the whole room first. So, all right, thank you. This subdivision. Let's see if I can get this moving. There we go. It's located. It's not in Daybreak. It's not part of Daybreak, but it is surrounded by Daybreak, basically. It's out at near between Granville Avenue and Mountain View Corridor and along the north side of South Jordan Parkway. The property is known as the last holdout piece of property there on that side. The subdivision has been a while in its since they originally applied, submitted the application. There's been a lot of things that they've had to go through to get this far with the subdivision. So that at this point, the subdivision does have five. It's a little over 8 acres with five. If I get the change here, we're going. There we go. Has five lots and one parcel. Each of the lots are intended to be for commercial uses. And the zoning on the property is CC, commercial community. And it has been zoned that way for many years. I would say probably close to 7, 8, 10. I can't remember how long ago it was rezoned to the community commercial zone. So,
is the parcel for a road? It runs along the length.
Yeah, it's a private. It'll be a private roadway or whatever going back there, and I'm not sure if they, if they develop the north side of that, they might add another segment of that for that parcel to make it wider. I'm not sure what their future plans are that in that direction, but it is for like access around the lots at this point. And there is one road that's being dedicated as public. The rest of the are just like drive aisles and so forth on it that are private.
There are two acreages listed. There's one that says 5 acres. There's one that says 8.1.
Oh, it's 8.1. It shouldn't be five.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I didn't have any other questions, commissioners. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schindler.
You're welcome.
Is this also an item that Mr. Warnock would speak to?
No, would not. The applicant is here.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're right. You specifically stated this wasn't Daybreak.
Yeah, okay. The applicant is here to speak on it.
So, Trish Smith, would you like to add something to the record?
Greg, was there Is that signal still in the listed in the requirements? Is this traffic signal in there? Okay, that was the only thing I was speaking to. We're good with his comments, and I was just concerned. We haven't worked out the signal issue there on that road, so that was the only thing I was concerned about.
Okay, would you state your name and—
Yes, John Gust. I'm the president of Arbor Commercial Commercial Residential Properties in South Jordan.
Okay, do you have anything you would like to add to the staff report, besides you agree with what was said?
No, we'll begin construction in early next year. Okay. And we're the architects doing several renderings for our approval, so we want to kind of come up with something different and be a good entrance to that area. So
since you came all this way and sat here with us, it won't impact our decision, but can you share anything about what these properties will be, what you hope to do with it?
Well, it'll be commercial. There's still some thing. The University of Utah is next to us. We only have, well, we have 17 acres there on that north piece. It's a kind of an odd-shaped piece. The university has 80 or 90 acres to the north of us, so we have been negotiating with them to include 15 acres of their property. We've worked it out with Daybreak. We sold the 10 acres across the street to Daybreak so they could have a cohesive development to the north where the ball field is. I don't know if you knew that or not. So we sold that to them in the last 60 days so they can have a cohesive development on that south side. And then as part of that whole agreement, it was agreed that we could work with the university to bring in 15 acres of their land if we can come together with some development that we all like. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay. Do you have any idea who your tenants will be, or is that further out?
Well, we've got two or three, or well, I should say about four or five. We get calls every day. And so we're going to own the whole development. We're not going to sell anything there. And so we'll be building it out. We want to just be an owner there. We feel it's one of our most valuable pieces of property. And so we're going to take our time, make sure it's done right. And I hope you like it. I think we will.
Can you comment on the parcel and what its purpose will be?
Pardon?
Can you comment on the section that's designated as a parcel? So there's a long strip along the back of all of these properties.
Oh, it's just an access road.
Okay.
So when they come in, they can go out different access areas along that development. It's just for better traffic flow.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Gust while he's up here? Okay. Thank you for joining us this
evening. Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. Any takers in the auditorium? Okay. We'll go back to online. Anything to add online? Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners?
One question I have. So, Greg, on the, when you're talking about a commercial development like this, I know, I just didn't study it out recently, but there are vehicle access minimum widths between lots for vehicle access. Does that apply to CC? I know it applies in residential and others.
Which Greg are you asking?
Sorry, Greg Schindler, Mr. Schindler.
I'm not sure what I mean by like vehicle access. I mean, these properties, you know, I would imagine they'll have separate accesses from South Jordan Parkway. To access each one. I'm not positive if they will or not. I mean, again, the accesses would have to be granted by the city. Right. And we have limitations on how close you can have accesses on collector streets. There's a spacing requirement. Maybe Jeremy can answer that.
Actually, I think like, I just didn't measure it out. It doesn't matter. But now I remember it's per lot. It's a But anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we had looked at that. I didn't see that called out in the staff report, but I didn't see anything that looked crazy to me either.
Will you come up to the podium, Mr. Guest, just so that it's on our records?
I think Mr. Guest said that there will be cross-access agreements between all the lots, so once they're on one, they can move to the next one without going back.
Those cross easements, parking and movement of traffic will be all under the development agreement that we move forward with each tenant. So everybody will be granted access to those access points and parking.
Right. We'll probably see that as a site because plan. Of CC, we'll probably see a site plan, right?
A site plan on that, yes.
Yeah, each site plan you'll see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guest.
Yeah, I'm jumping the gun. Sorry, here I was talking earlier about.
Want to get business done?
It's not very related to the subdivision, but it kind of is, but not close enough to. Let's move on.
All right. Any other comments, observations?
We kind of just touched on it, but because it's a CC zone, we will see site plan, and because it's technically not part of Daybreak, it's not subject to the master development agreement the city has with that property.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
I just wanted to say that I, my first concern when I saw this was connectivity, so I just appreciate the thought put into that to provide that, so thank you.
Okay, ready for a motion then.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please. I move that based on the staff report and the discussion this evening that we approve project number PLPP 2022-00141, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion, any discussion?
Just one question, sorry, as I read the motion. I'm assuming that the project number PLP 222022 this was filed in 2022. And is there any, I guess, statute of limitation timeline that we need to consider?
No, when it's, if approved, there's time limits, but actually submitting the application, we don't have anything in our code that we can go to and say, oh, you haven't done anything for a year or whatever, that we're gonna, but we, at some point we probably would, if this happens, and we knew that there was, what the issues were for why they weren't going forward, but if it was another one that we wouldn't, just let it go, we would probably contact them, you know, through email and say, do you wanna continue on with your application or should we just, you know, declare it canceled? But in this case, there was a good reasons for them waiting this long.
Thank you, and that thank you for the applicant for their patience, I guess, for a couple of years. So that was just my question. Okay.
Okay, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez.
Okay, Commissioner Gretsch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Catwell?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 5-0. I'd like to thank both Mr. Warnick and Mr. Guest for joining us this evening. It really helps us conduct our business when applicants and members of our community come out to help us with these decisions. All right, we don't have any legislative items this evening, but we did ask staff to add something to our other business. I don't want to take too long on this. I'm thinking 5-10 minutes max for this evening. I just wanted to get the discussion started concerning having planning commission rules moving forward into 2025. Mr. Catmull has done a lot of legwork, finding examples, sharing them with us via email. After reviewing the materials that he shared with us, I felt like the Santaquin City Planning Commission bylaws were probably a good place to start. So I've provided you each a copy. I have a copy for the record since I assume that might be required since we're reviewing them in a public meeting. So Ms. Valdez, I'll leave those with you. So we could certainly go through sections and indicate what we like or what we don't like. We could also just use a few minutes to capture what we hope the rules that we would adopt would cover that aren't already covered by the ordinances that actually govern this body. So I don't think we actually need to touch on how a planning commissioner is appointed or approved or removed, since that's all covered by our ordinances. But this is more kind of a guideline of how do we operate, how do we run our business where we do have discretion. I liked specifically that these rules outlined how meetings run and kind of the most standard procedures that they follow, just to make it clear. I think for a new commissioner, this would be nice to have, because we've always said that we loosely follow Robert's rules, but this kind of outlines exactly what we mean by that. So if there's anything you want to add at this time, you certainly may, or you can take this home and mark it up. We can exchange some emails. My hope is that by our last meeting in December, we'll have a working copy. Actually, probably by our meeting in November, so that we can give Mr. Simonson a copy for feedback. And Mr. Simonson, I would actually value your input highly, not only because of your legal expertise, but because of your experience with a planning commission in the past that I believe adopted their own bylaws. So if you've got any recommendations, we're open to those as well.
I'll be anxious to see what Santaquin has in front of you and what you're thinking. So I'll be responsive in any way I can.
Okay.
It's a little tangential, but I'm losing track of like whether people are allowed to join remotely, like contribute to the meeting remotely or not.
I think that's something we should define here. Can a planning commission member participate that way? Can they vote that way? Is that necessary for maintaining a quorum? There was a point in time during COVID that we had to, but then coming out of that, there was a point in time when our floating member, who I believe is you, didn't have a vote, and we struggled sometimes to reach quorum without allowing that virtual attendance. I feel like our attendance this year has been good enough. I would lean towards no, let's have in-person participation the Planning Commission. For this, we're just following City Council at this point, and we can formalize that.
Okay.
That we just kind of do what City Council does, and we'll adopt
and
modify as needed.
That's probably my only question, is like in that area, if we're following City Council, why Santaquin for the rest? I don't know.
Well, do they have...
Do we have a South Shore City Council
rules of procedure or bylaws? That would be a great place to start.
Yeah, I mean, if we're trying to be consistent.
These seem to have followed the template you sent from the League of Cities, so I like that.
It probably does.
And they were a little more involved than the ones that you sent from Murray. Again, I went through all your information that you curated.
These are very similar to the City of West Jordan, which I believe Mr. Simonson and I are very familiar with.
I'm good with it. Sorry, I didn't mean to open that up.
I think Mr. Catmull would have sent us South Jordans if they existed already.
I could have found it. But anyway.
The city does have guidelines for boards and so forth, but they specifically exclude the Planning Commission. And I think the reason for that is that if you go to 17.16.010, particularly subpart one, it's laid out pretty carefully what you can do, and I think it gives you a lot of discretion. Where I think I can help you is your limits, of course, are going to be things that are probably pretty obvious. I mean, in other words, this gives you the right to do rules on how you conduct your business, but if you decided in the name of efficiency, and this is a silly example, but if you decided in the name of efficiency that you're going to...
Cut public comment
in a way that's not allowed in the code, or do other things that are going to infringe on constitutional due process, that kind of thing, then obviously those things are going to limit you. And in general, as long as your motivation is to get fair process for people so they can feel like they're being heard, and so also that you're getting efficiency in your meetings. Those are the kinds of things that are going to be appropriate for you to do. I think maybe without you even having them written down, you do have some rules. I mean, we saw some example tonight. You know, you told the people speaking, you've got 3 minutes. And as far as I know, that's not written down everywhere or anywhere, but that's been the rule as long as I've been working for the city. And you, to me, you know, I've been in front of so many planning commissions, the way we respond to questions is a little unusual, but I think it's a very good way, and that is that we take all the public comment and write down the questions, and we respond at the end. Do you want to put that down as an actual rule that you're going to continue to follow or not? And so these are some examples that I think kind of tradition that we've done, but I'll be interested to see what great minds come up with.
All right. Do you want to do any further discussion this evening, or do you want to take the task to go home and review these? I think as you read it, you'll recognize this actually documents a lot of what we already do. There's some additional things, and we can decide if we like it or not. We can also decide if we want to add anything. The one that I always struggle with, but I cannot think of an orderly way to do it, especially on a hot topic item, is how to handle that question issue where they still have an opportunity to clarify, or to the answer to that question brings up another question. So, and then another item that City Council does that we do not, that we can discuss adding, is having an open comment section at the beginning. I think we've leaned against that for various reasons. We've discussed that with Mr. Sotomayor, but we could certainly discuss it.
Schaefermeyer. Sotomayor, I didn't know we had a Supreme Court justice on that.
I met her once. Thank you, Schaefermeyer. Complicated essays.
One thing is, if we were to want this the first meeting in November, that's only two meetings away, we should probably direct staff to add this as a action item of whatever draft we have. So that way, because like one of the things in here is that you elect the officer for the next year, the last meeting there, that would be the following meeting.
Right.
So just because of the timing where we only have three meetings left in 2024, either get it placed on the November or December agenda. Because I'm not sure also if we come up with our own bylaws, does that have to be adopted by the City Council as the legislative body of the city? So even though it's for our taxes, because it's going to be documented for future commissions, does it have to be acted upon by the City Council?
Is that a legal question you're asking?
Yes.
Sure, that'd be a great legal question.
These actually again, fall out, but they have to have a public comment.
Yeah.
I would invite all of you to review 1716 or chapter 1716. But as I read it, the rules on conducting your own business is in your domain. Now the City Council can do such things as you'll read. I mean, like if they could remove any commissioner, they could do their various things, but as far as setting your own rules and so forth, I think you have some broad discussion or broad discretion under the code.
Are we in the clear to discuss this over email to conduct this business modifications as long as we present in public?
Or copy everybody in the city staff, or
can you guide us there?
I would prefer that you didn't. If you start having group discussions, when then we start running into public meeting problems, and if you do start discussing it, please copy me on those. Not that I want to censor you or anything like that. It's just that I want to make sure that we're not setting you up for a problem down the road.
But if we took a subset of us, like a subcommittee or something like that, that wasn't a majority.
Less than three.
less than three.
So two.
then we could probably draft up something, right? And then share it with the group or whatever.
You have enough time. If your goal is before 2025, you've got another meeting in October. You have, I just think, one meeting in November and one meeting in December that you have time to present drafts. And like I said, the ordinance allows you to make your changes at any time. I mean, you don't have to do it at the first of the year. You can do it in any meeting. So if you needed more time, but I think that it would be good for the city and for you to make sure that your discussions are open to anybody that wants to hear them.
Okay. Would it be appropriate for one of us to take the task of making a first stab at an outline that they bring next time?
I don't see any way you can do this without
that.
Without that.
Do we make it complicated if more than one person does that? Or do we all just take this and say, we like this item, we would strike this item, we would add this to this section, we see no purpose in this section? Should we do that?
That's probably
nice. Or it might be like, because you already have this, yeah. Like, yeah. I think if you... Everyone's already been invited to give feedback. It's in the minutes. You can probably share that initial feedback, and then it probably should be one or two people who create a document that is ours instead of, I don't know if this is PDF or what that is, but we probably need to create our own document somewhere to begin that process that doesn't mention.
I think that process would be, I think that process is a good one, because I just, last, at the city council meeting when they had their discussion regarding the short-term rentals. The legal department came to them in their meeting, which is an open meeting, and help the council start drafting that ordinance. Do you want this in the ordinance? Do you want this? Do you want that? So if there was a way you could all come up with the things you would like to see in an ordinance, and at the next meeting you can have the same discussion and then discuss during the meeting whether those kind of, what you want in that in your rules, what kind of rules do you want to have there, and all of you could participate on coming forward with your ideas, and then you can choose which ones you want to.
Could staff, if we provide a Word document, display this or a version of this on the screen so that we can have a working session where we're
study session.
Oh, sure, if you. Yeah, give us a. We can just
so that we
a
can,
copy of it, and then just put okay. it as part of like our presentation. Just
okay.
put it in there for you, so you can.
Can I just get ahead of this and add the one item that's not in here that I would be sure. interested in? Is some sort of mechanism to ask questions of public commenters? Those people make comments. There have been a number of times I'm like, if I could just ask this one simple clarifying question, I think we could avert a lot of heated discussion. And yet, there's no mechanism for me to ask them a question.
Just the one thing I'd like to maybe clarify that I said earlier and that we need to avoid is, gee, here we are circulating to the entire group a draft of emails that the public doesn't see, and all of a sudden you're all commenting, and by the time you get to the meeting, everybody's kind of reached a consensus outside of the public eye, and that's what we need to
avoid.
Need to avoid, yes.
So could we do a working session where, say, we were working on an online document like a Google Doc where we're...
Yes, as long as we notice it properly.
And present, I mean, we could even present while we're working.
That's what I was asking. If we could give them a document, can they pull it up?
Oh, I got you.
Give them directions to strike that, no, we like that, we need to reword that.
And I was thinking, like, is it just something like we could all be, like, editing at the same time?
Oh, you watch. I'll type faster than you.
Probably. I don't know.
My change. No, I'm kidding.
Overridden.
Okay. Well, however we want to do that. Like, I think we can...
What is our business looking like next time, Greg?
The next meeting, there are at least two items, or maybe three, depending on what the city council does with the rezoning that for the flag lot rezone. City Council hearing that if they approve it, then that the subdivision would be on that agenda. If they don't approve it, then there's no going forward. There would be no reason to bring the subdivision back to the Planning Commission. So it's kind of depending on that. But there I have two items in Daybreak, and I will not be here at that meeting. Miguel is going to present for me on the Daybreak ones. He's starting to do some of the Daybreak items. So.
Is this a succession plan? What's going on?
Sort of.
I don't know if that's allowed. We're going to add that to our minutes that Greg can't leave without our permission.
So let me just read to you a couple lines from the code here regarding rules and regulations. They may be modified or amended at any time by the Planning Commission at any of its regular meetings. And so I don't know if that excludes special noticing of work meetings or not. I think that to be safe, it would be good to keep it in your regular meetings and that we be especially careful about not having any private meetings about this.
That's fair. Commissioners, I would like to recommend that we add it to our agenda just like we did this time for our next meeting. And a lot up to 1 hour or 8:30 for
a work. This document as the
a working document
into the public so that way when it's noticed in our supporting documentation that gets sent out, that way the public can see what we're reviewing.
Yes. However, so I'll provide Ms. Valdez a copy of what we looked at tonight by next time, and I guess before it gets noticed, I would like a slightly modified version that.
Yeah, so the South Jordan at the top. Yeah. But that way, so the public knows what we're discussing ahead of time. Kind of like we get the staff reports, they get notice those as well.
Okay. And we won't have any online email meetings on this item.
Thank you. But I want to just say I think it's okay to talk to your attorney or attorneys. And I also think a verbal discussion with your council representative might yield some good suggestions.
Well, Madam Chair, I wonder too, like if we should just make it a standing agenda item for a while and just prioritize the thing. So if we want to prioritize like the election of chair and either vice chair or what was the other
temporary chair, I think it's that or
whatever
deputy.
Well, anyway, that's what it says, yeah. Deputy chair. So I'm like, oh, sure. Changing the terms. So, like, if we wanted to prioritize something like that, we could work on it, and then if that way we just keep it moving along until we're done.
Okay.
And then that way, just keep it moving.
All right.
I mean, it feels like it's going to be slower because we're doing it open, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I agree. I think we can adopt portions. We're happy with this. Let's adopt it.
Yeah. Kind of make it a focus, maybe. Yeah. Can we talk about that? Like what areas we'd like to focus on in the meeting? That would make sense, right? Like,
He's going to say no.
We have to copy the whole city. That would be noticed.
I think if you, again, I don't want to see an email, have you go out to the Planning Commission, let's focus on this. That's my danger, my concern that you suddenly start having a broad discussion about this outside of the public eye.
Let's agree now, however, that probably the first priority would be our special positions, simply because we do that at the beginning of the year.
I think that's great, and maybe what we do is to make that, to expedite it and to give directions for the next meeting, is at the end of that action item, we may decide what we're going to work on next.
I like that. So can we agree that for next time,
yep,
we'll work on the appointments that we make at the beginning of the year. So I would say that traditionally that's a chair, a vice chair, and an art representative. And anything else that we want. I've always wondered if we should have a Robert's Rules.
Well, we could just have language, other officers, other office as being necessary or something.
Okay.
We could come up with wording.
Okay.
Organization, like that whole organization section, like I'd be.
Can we call the Robert's Rules individual the enforcer?
You can propose that.
It's a living document.
All right. Maybe we'll even have rules about what percentage of vote it takes to add, to amend. All right. I think that's everything I had.
No, thanks for the work on this, you guys. And yeah, it's. I went through it really, really quickly, but it's, I think, very close to what
we already do. That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
All right. With that, then I will motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, staff.